Good evening and welcome to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to Guardian 96.9 FM. Don't forget you can listen to us all day long by downloading the Guardian Radio app from the App Store or Play Store, and you can put us on your phone and listen to us all day. Or just, you know, go to that radio thing, which maybe you have still if you're old or you have a car, and just dial to 96.9 and listen to us. And we're always happy when you join us on Wednesday evenings where we're here to talk about our creative community. And tonight I'm really excited to have an artist on the show who is going to be exhibiting in the Bahamas. He is not from the Bahamas, but of course we are here trying to create a community, like a trans-Caribbean community as well. And so I'm really happy to welcome Riddell Warner to the show. Good evening, Riddell.
Good evening, Amanda. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, so glad you're here. It's great. And I'm excited that you're going to be in the Bahamas. We just had some bad news about the shipping and it's going to be a little delayed, but you're still going to make it.
Yes.
So, you are actually from Trinidad originally, correct?
Yes, I am.
Yep. Now, where are you living now? Because I mean, your bio's like you're in Jamaica, you're in Trinidad, you're in Texas.
Yeah, well, right now I'm in Austin, Texas. My wife, Nicole, is here getting her PhD in art history. So we are based here right now. The plan is to be here until she's finished in about 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. And then we want to live in the Caribbean again. So we're going to be living again in Jamaica and Trinidad. That's the plan.
Yeah, because she's Jamaican and you're Trinidadian, so right?
Yes.
So we can just goes to show that we can all love each other, people. So so just tell me, I always love when we have artists come on the show, you know, just to tell us a little bit about yourself and like what your journey was like. You know, I think all of us coming from island nations, you know, the art path isn't always the easiest to get onto, or maybe sometimes it's hard to self-identify because everyone's like, no, you got to be a doctor. So just tell us a little bit about your own journey. When did art call you? Was that from a very early age or from later? And how did you find yourself on that path?
Well, I think from very early, I've been making things or interested in making things. I started making like visual art maybe when I was like 18, 19. I wanted clothes, things to wear that I liked, but I couldn't find anything that I liked. Like, you know, lots of things have logos and I wasn't really interested in wearing branded clothes. So I started making stencils, started seeing like joining like stencil communities online, people who like make their own, cut their own stencils and roll paint onto posters and things like that. And I started like making t-shirts with my own designs on them. And, a friend of mine that I used to make music with in school, and we were like 14, 15, he comes over to my house and he's putting some like music production software on my computer, and he puts Photoshop on there. I didn't even know what this is, but eventually I like learned that I could use it to make my t-shirt designs. And it kind of took off from there. I often think about the fact that I used to like write stories in like primary school, and I consider that very important, especially now. Like I never really used to think of it much, but now I realize it was a very kind of formative experience, like writing stories that I would read to my friends in class and like just kind of present my work to an audience. So that's always been part of my life. But yeah, in my teens, I started making images that I would put onto my clothes because I wanted to wear these things. And I started learning software that I could use. And basically that just evolved into like me making new, all kinds of different things with the software, learning new softwares, getting work at the printery when I was like 21. And learning to use like Adobe Illustrator and Adobe Photoshop, and eventually getting work at an ad agency in Trinidad. An artist who was the creative director at this agency in Trinidad called CMB hired me. Like I show up for this interview. I know a little bit of like the programs that you use to make ads, to make images, but I don't know them so well. But what I do have with me is my sketchbook, and I have all my drawings in it. And he's so excited by what he's seeing in my sketchbook. He's like, I'll hire you and I'll teach you to use these programs. He just wanted to encourage me to like, wow. He's just excited about, yeah. And that was Richard Rawlins. Yeah. Yeah, you probably know Richard Rawlins.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, so Richard like gave me a job and in his studio, at this ad agency. And that was a big deal because I was suddenly making some money to the point where I could like buy tools and things to make art, to make work. And also what was really important is that the studio that I was working in was full of all these artists and designers who were working in all kinds of ways that I'd never seen before. So working with them really exposed me to all kinds of new ways of making art and just looking at the world. And also working in that studio, Richard, he really encouraged us to like share links and find things online that would be interesting to each other and share those things. And so I ended up just spending lots of time online learning things. And so, working in that studio, I had like, this is like 2009, 2008. And I didn't have like, I had internet at home, but it was like dial-up internet and it was really expensive and I couldn't really just be online all the time, right? Oh gosh. You'd take like all night to download one song and that kind of thing. But at the studio, they had cable internet and you could just be online all day. So I just went online. I was just online all the time. And that was really also just kind of mind-blowing to just like, see the world, what all these artists are doing online and stuff.
Yeah. And at that point, when you were working at the graphic design company, would you have already, like, if someone said, what do you do? Would you have said, I'm an artist? Or were you still like, well, I'm just a guy that, like, does graphic design and makes t-shirts? Had you kind of self-identified as an artist? Or were you still kind of trying to figure out? Because I think that's a big moment for a lot of artists. Actually, I'm an artist.
I wouldn't have said I'm an artist. I might have said that I make things. I would have said something like that. Maybe I wouldn't have had the confidence to say I'm an artist or identify myself in that way. But I did have enough like awareness of what I did to say, well, I make things. So I might talk about the fact that I play guitar and I play in this band, or I like to draw, or I like to make t-shirts, and I would say things like that. Mm-hmm. I probably only started saying I'm an artist when I started showing in exhibitions, and that became kind of a routine thing. At some point around there, this is the result of like talking with other people who identify as artists and becoming part of a community of artists. Mm-hmm. At some point after that, I probably started identifying as an artist, I think.
Mm-hmm. And how was that community in Trinidad? Did you find that an easy community? Like, you know, I know here we have a very small community. Was it easy to find your way into it, or was it like obscure? And
I think for me, it was probably relatively easy because I was working in a studio with a bunch of artists who were themselves working together and knew people, you know, in the artistic and the creative community who made things, who worked in advertising as well. So I kind of got embedded in it. I realized after a while that, and that was in Port of Spain too. So, which is the capital and where kind of a lot of the creative activity is centered. I realized that it might be more difficult for people who live outside of the capital and maybe who don't work in a field where they like do something, where they create images or something for a living, might find it difficult to find community or to find other people to work with, which is really important. Like, it's so important for you to have other people that do the same things, because often the value of these things is not really understood or acknowledged. And so lots of people who would be artists or who would spend their time making things, all kinds of different things, even musicians and stuff, you know, they end up doing other things and maybe aren't able to make time for creating a practice or nurturing a practice, you know?
Yeah. Well, or also because the people around them are like, what are you doing again? You know, and maybe giving them that encouragement.
Yeah. It takes a lot of encouragement. Like there are so many things I would never have done unless somebody, usually somebody older and more like experienced, would, you know, put an opportunity in front of me or put a challenge in front of me and say, why don't you do this? Or you need to do this. Or you need to be applying for these kinds of things.
Yeah. And how were your parents through all this? Because I know mine were kind of like, what's she doing now? That crazy girl. But they were also very like, well, if that's what you want to do, go ahead. But they were confused by my career choices until, you know, until I was like 40 and I actually ended up in the New York Times. Volta ended up being reviewed in the New York Times. And my dad was like, oh, what you do is actually serious. And I was like, well, yeah, it actually is.
Yeah. I remember my parents being very supportive and also kind of open-minded. I remember in my teens, I don't remember exactly how old I was, like we had a spare room that was just full of just generations of junk. We used to live in a house that my grandmother and uncle lived upstairs, and so this is just like our family home. We lived downstairs, me and my two brothers and my two parents, and there was this spare room. And I remember one time I just asked them if I could just pile all the junk up in one side of the room, if I could use that room. And they were just like, yes. And I moved the computer into there, and I just had a space that I could make things in, put things up, and kind of, you know, export the contents of my imagination, have it all around me, and work in that space. And they gave me space to do that. And, you know,
that was like your first studio.
Yeah, totally. Like I would be in there cutting my stencils and testing out my spray paints and rolling my paints on and stuff like that. And the computer I had in there was our family computer. It was my computer, and they allowed me to my whole family allowed me to, you know, to use the resources that we had.
That's lovely.
Yeah, yeah. So when I started doing more, when the things that I was making started getting more attention from other people and started creating opportunities for me to travel and show and stuff like that, they were just, really just amazed and encouraging and happy. And that's still the case to this day. You know, new things are happening all the time. I mean, at this point, it's kind of passe when I tell them some new thing. It's almost like they just expect that, you know, that new things are going to always be happening.
No, that's great. Yeah. That's really lovely because, you know, again, not always do parents kind of really get it. And there's some artists that are like, yeah, my parents actually tried to discourage me, or my parents. So it's lovely to hear that like the whole family was behind you. And then when would you say you started? I know that like in the early 2000s, I was looking again, traveling around your website, that you went and did a residency in Joburg.
Yeah.
Before that, you had the series. So when did you actually just get into photography? Because when I look at your website and I go back to find like your early work, it really starts with being like a straight photographer in a way.
Yeah.
So when did that start?
Well, so around the time I was making t-shirts, stenciling images of the t-shirts, I think I was around like 18, 19. I just started working. I was working at Angostura, this rum distillery in Trinidad. And I was using Photoshop to make my images. And so I would buy stock images. So if I wanted a helicopter on my t-shirt, I would buy an image of a helicopter, cut that out, and work it into my design. After a while, I realized that if I had a camera, I could make my own pictures, and I wouldn't have to buy stock footage all the time. So I got a camera just so I wouldn't have to spend so much money on stock photography. And I ended up, I didn't know that, like, taking pictures. I fell in love with the camera and with taking pictures. I had no idea about photography as like a discipline or like this thing that you could so enjoy. I just literally got the camera so I could save money on stock photos and ended up just loving taking pictures. So, I mean, I could tell you more about it, but that's how that
started. We'll hear more about it after the break. Beautiful though. It's almost like lots of happenstance. It was almost like you were led down.
Totally.
Something or someone or some spirit was like leading you down the path. That's really beautiful. So we'll hear more about that when we come back from the break. We are speaking tonight to Riddell Warner, who is a Trinidadian artist, but who will be having a show at Turn Gallery in the Bahamas out on the West End next week. We hope there's been a little hiccup with the shipping, but we will release that date soon. And we're really excited for that exchange and to see you here in the Bahamas on our shore. So we're going to go to a quick break and come right back with Riddell Warner. You are listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Colson. I'm the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this break.